Men in Women's Sports? Poll Shows People Don't Buy the Trans Hype. Written by Selwyn Duke. Friday, June 7, 2019. It's the difference between the pseudo-elite and the man on the street. We're supposed to believe that made-up sexual status must, or transgender ideology is now mainstream thought, opposition to which is only registered by fringe radicals. Yet a new poll shows that most Americans don't buy the pseudo-elite must line. As PJ Media reports. In a poll released Tuesday, Rasmussen reveals that just 28% of American adults favor allowing transgender students to participate on the sports team of the gender they identify with, letting biological males, for example, play girls' sports. Roughly the same number, 31%, favor allowing transgender students to use bathrooms of the opposite biological sex. This is a policy that Republicans are in the mainstream, while Democrats are not. 77% of Republicans and 52% of those not affiliated with either major political party oppose allowing transgender students on the teams of the gender they identify with, according to Rasmussen. Democrats support such a policy by a 43% to 36% margin, with 21% undecided. There's a similar partisan breakdown when it comes to bathroom policy. Of course, it's a tribute to propaganda's power and modern's general dislocation from reality that 28% of Americans suppose that biology is negotiable, and that a plurality of Democrats support the policy in question illustrates the intellectual and moral rot now typifying their party. Nonetheless, as perusing internet comments sections will also inform, the MUS agenda does not enjoy the widespread support the media, academia, entertainment, and big business could lead one to believe. But that doesn't stop the Democrats from pushing bizarre legislation such as the Orwellian-labeled Equality Act, which just passed the House of Representatives with 8 GOP votes and would compel people to accept the claims of transgenders in bathrooms, sports, and employment, writes American Thinker. As PJ Media's Matt Margolis explained last month, this is an all-out assault on parental rights, on the family, and on the millions of people of faith in this country. Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, FRC, said in a statement. The legislation goes far beyond just quarantining faith behind the four walls of a house of worship. This act quarantines faith within your mind and says that's where it must stay. It creates a world that punishes those who exercise their freedom to believe and live according to those beliefs, the site continues. No institution or person of faith, be it a school, church, synagogue, mosque, business, or nonprofit will escape its Orwellian reach, he, Perkins, warned. PJ Media also reports that the Equality Act would force health care providers to perform abortions if a woman asks for them, stripping away any conscience protections they may currently enjoy. Of course, much can be said about MUS ideology in general. First, it's the Lysenkoism, officially enforced pseudoscience, of our time, advocated, unsurprisingly, by the people who can view an ultrasound of a baby sucking his thumb and then claim he's an unviable tissue mass. Second, much is made of how the MUS agenda hurts women, with males masquerading as females using girls' bathrooms and locker rooms and taking trophies and titles from female athletes. Yet seldom pointed out is that feminists, and modern women in general, along with complicit modern men, set the stage for this. Remember that for decades feminists socially enforced gender neutrality theory, which states that the sexes are the same except for the superficial physical differences. This provided a convenient pretext for women's entry into traditionally male institutions and spheres, e.g., military academies, police forces, military combat. A woman can do anything a man can do, was the common war cry, with the implication that they could do everything every bit as well, if not even better. So all the MUS activists then did was embrace a corollary of gender neutrality theory. If you change the superficial physical differences, you can be the opposite sex. Voila. Besides, what's the big deal about MUS men in women's sports if a woman can do anything a man can do, As American thinkers Drew Belsky put it last Saturday. The problem for feminists is that the transgender putsch in the sporting world sets what was once a simmering pot of cognitive dissonance to boiling. Throw out the delusional men can be women part, and you're left with the bald-faced truth that men and women are inherently, inexorably different. And not only are men and women different, but, heresy of all heresies, men are stronger than women. Feminists have been fighting this fact tooth and nail for decades, to the point where mentally disturbed or opportunistic males who can't win against other males can ride the feminist train all the way to snatching trophies from girls. Talk about being hoisted with your own petards, about getting a schadenfreude sparking comeuppance. As for political realities, Margolis points out that this situation presents an opportunity for the GOP. The American people are clearly not cool with having boys playing on girls' teams, or changing in front of little girls, he writes. Yet, Democrats endorse this madness wholeheartedly, so why haven't the Republicans yet exploited this issue? Because like the frilled lizard, which puffs up its neck to intimidate adversaries, politically correct social engineers are very good at making themselves seem bigger than they actually are. With their Gramscian control of the culture shapers, the media, academia, entertainment, and, increasingly, big business, the left specializes in making newly minted, bizarre ideas quickly appear the status quo. They're masters of illusion. It's powerful illusion, though, that can end careers and ruin reputations. This is partially because of what is not illusion here. The pseudo-elites, the establishment, do embrace the politically correct nonsense, and they do often have the power to make you or break you. Of course, politicians could perhaps avoid establishment control via an eloquent, compelling appeal to the people, Donald J. Trump, anyone. But the illusion makes them fear the MUS agenda, too. Besides, no one likes being stigmatized. What all this means, sadly, is not just that less and less do we have a government of, by, and for the people, but a social realm controlled by those fancying themselves our betters, too. What's also not illusion is that we are always one election away from this insanity becoming the law of the land, as Margolis warns. Oh, it's not that people will specifically vote for the MUS agenda or up to birth prenatal infanticide. They'll vote for leftists for other reasons, many of which will be illusions themselves, and then the Democrats will simply enact their lunacy once they have control of both houses and the presidency, as they always do. It all comes back to Duke's first rule of republics: under representative government, people do not get what they want. They get what they vote for. And that, my friends, is how the people choose their leaders, and the pseudo-elites lead. Subscribe to The New American and listen to more by clicking podcast on the top right corner of our homepage. Also, please consider donating to help us push out more content for you, our listeners.